folks. You're listening to Long Shots Radio, College Football Edition with Donnie Wrightside. Just want to welcome you guys to the show. It's a brand new show. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. You can catch it here on TrendBetting.com. We're going to talk NCAA football, NFL football, fantasy football, take your phone calls, recap what happens during the week, what's going on, future impact, upcoming big games, gambling tips is what we're here for, folks, what we're going to look for in the next few weeks, why is the line moving, public versus Vegas, always previewing those big-time, prime-time games with my good buddy Alex, the AK-47. Listen here, Saturday, 6 p.m., TrendBetting.com, Long Shots Radio, College Football Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Folks, the time is here again. Welcome to Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, me, Donnie Wrightside. Happy New Year to all my friends, family, and clients. We weren't able to do the show last week on Thursday, hence because it was New Year's Day, so we had the time off, spent it with family and friends. But, of course, we were firing away all day long on the great football action of last January the 1st. It was a fantastic day. We're going to recap the college football highlights of the past, say, about 7 days or so. More importantly, go over the Final Four, how those turned out. But tonight is a football night. College basketball, I know it's underway. You saw the premium plays that we have put out for this evening and everything. And by the way, with that, I have a couple quick notes on that. You might want to jump on these. A couple quick premium plays for 8:30 Eastern Standard Time starts. Jump on South Alabama at -2.5 and Arkansas State also at -2.5. Both of those are heavy public favorites. So we flipped the script and went the other way with the small home favorites there. So let's get a quick sweep out of that, but I did want to get that business out of the way. Once again, get on those South Alabama Jaguars, -2.5, and also Arkansas State at -2.5 as well. Let's go over the show with you tonight. As I said, it's a football edition. College football is winding down. You have the championship game, the first ever championship game coming and taking place in Dallas in Jerry World on Monday night, and it's a great matchup. Ohio State, which many didn't think should even be in the playoff, they've advanced against beating big-time favorite Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and then you have everybody we expected to be there, those Oregon Ducks that were led by Mark Helfrich, great head coach taking over for Chip Kelly, handing the reins over to him and Marcus Mariota. He's been nothing short of phenomenal. First quarterback in NCAA football history to have 50 more touchdowns than turnovers. That is amazing. 55-5, I believe, is what he ended up with, accounting for running and passing touchdowns versus turnovers. That is sensational. Heisman Trophy winner, where he goes in the NFL, it's going to be up for grabs. I think overall, Jameis Winston is probably the better pro football quarterback, but depending on the system that Marcus Mariota goes to, hint, hint, Philadelphia, or somebody that can translate and get him in an up-tempo offense, Bill Lazor down in Miami, they have Ryan Tannehill. They're pretty happy with him, but he would fit right into that Oregon mold. And also with the rumblings going on right now in Tampa Bay, that they might be looking at Scott Frost, offensive coordinator for Oregon, bringing him in and taking Marcus Mariota with the number one overall pick, and that would seemingly fit like a glove right there. But again, a lot to go over in that respect, and we're going to detail that game on Monday night a little bit later in the show tonight. Quick half-hour show tonight. Main thing we're going over, it's NFL. This is my favorite week of the NFL season, no question about it. Do I love Wild Card Weekend? Absolutely. First weekend of the playoffs, it's fantastic. And hey, little disclaimer here. 2-0 sweep for Donnie Wrightside last weekend. The Indianapolis Colts, -3.5, easy winner. And an odd one that we had to sweat out, which we really shouldn't have, was the Carolina Panthers, -5.5. We're going to go over those games and tell you exactly how they went and how we foresee that they should be going on Sunday, because this is divisional weekend. The big boys have come out to play. They're off their buys. They're ready. A lot of good football is going to take place both on Saturday and Sunday, and I can't wait for it. And again, we're going to review that a little bit later in the show. Let's go over what Long Shots Radio is all about. Welcome to the show once again. I like to say it every week. There's a lot of new listeners out there and a lot of new clients that have bought on and are just listening for the first time. Once again, this is Donnie Wrightside. We're going to eventually take calls on this phone on this show. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. We say it each week. NCAA, NFL, fantasy football, that's pretty much in the rearview mirror, but we're coming down the home stretch. This is where you make your bones with a professional in the National Football League playoffs, heading right into the Super Bowl. And let's say it again, last year we put everybody we could talk to, everybody who bought picks, every one of my clients and friends, we hammered the Seahawks in the Super Bowl last year. So whoever is making it back this year, you know you're going to be on the right side if you stick with us. We're going to recap what happens during the week on the show, what's going on, future impact, upcoming matchups, gambling tips, what we are looking for. The most important thing is public versus Vegas. Why is that line moving? That's what you want to look at. We're going to take a look at a few of those a little bit later. But once again, this is an NFL NCAA weekend. It's going to go out with a bang. The last college football game of the year is Monday. We've already swung over to college basketball. A lot of that stuff is in play at this point. About myself, 20-year pro gambler in the business, selling picks online and selling packages just for about 2 years now. I also have RightSideValuePlays.com, but we always like to say the home base, the home satellite, TrendBetting.com. It doesn't get any better for professionalism, for website, for customer service, for cappers. We have everything that you want there for us. My approach myself is more of the 401k approach, especially during football season. We're going to pick our shots. We picked two games last week, loved them both, nailed them both. There was no reason to bet any first halves or over-unders or team totals there. We zeroed in on exactly what we liked, and we're going to give out a five-star premium play to end the show tonight. You're not going to want to miss out on. We've zeroed in on one factor in a game that we really like, so stay tuned. I'm going to hand that one out. We swept the board last week, 2-0. I expect another sweep this weekend. NCAA, NFL, Major League Baseball, college basketball, that's my expertise. You've seen the videos there. You can follow me, and many of you obviously already do, at RightSideVP on Twitter. I'm also available on Facebook, but spend the majority of time on Twitter. Say hello, ask me questions, bounce some stuff off me, tell me if one of my picks didn't win and why you thought it didn't win. I love all the back and forth on Twitter. It's a lot of fun meeting new people, and this is what we do, folks. We win money. That's what we're here for at TrendBetting.com. The lineup speaks for itself. Lucky Lance Williams was the brain trust. Met the guy about a year and a half ago. Came to me with a great idea about a website that we're going to form with cappers that are passionate about the business, honesty about the business, and know how to do it the right way, but most importantly, win you money. Lance is a premier capper on that website, a sharp young guy. CJ the Razor specializes in NHL plays, and a lot of the times that guy is going to put you on dogs. Doesn't like to spend a lot of money on favorites or giving up anything. He is definitely the king of the dogs on the ice. Alex, the AK-47, you've heard him on our previous show that we were doing on Thursday nights. Primetime edition there. Alex come on many, many times and described those late primetime games, giving you winners there. He takes a unique approach to the game, a younger fella there, but man, is he sharp. Definitely want to get his packages. They are available as well. Very, very affordable, cheap, and certainly he's going to put you on a lot of right side winners as well. And if you want any fitness tips there, of course, you see him on Twitter. The guy's probably having a cheat meal as we speak right now. MMAJ, the foremost leader in mixed martial arts capping. There is nobody better in this business. You see his name all over Twitter. Everybody asks this guy for information. He's a very, very good friend of mine. Reach out to him on Twitter. He'll definitely want to help you out with that. At MMA_pick. That is my man, MMAJ. Travis Terry there. What can I say? The man has been on a heater the last 3 weeks. Pick up his packages there. Go to trendbetting.com. Click on the experts tab. We're all right there. Just take a look at what cappers, whose expertise is the one that you're going to want to go with. You could choose from. We're all there. Records right in plain view there, as myself is there as well. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ, Alex, MMAJ, Jeff Brandis is on there as well. That is my man for all my horse racing needs, especially when the Triple Crown is upcoming in the spring. The Saffronet, as well as Frank Buzz. Both packages for us are about $249 a month. When you break that down to each day, it's not that expensive. If you win that money back, which you know you're going to, everything else is gravy. Stick with the professionals at trendbetting.com. Once again, click on the experts tabs. That's what we're here for. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get this show underway. Let's take a quick look back on December 31st and 1st and give you a roundup heading into the college football final. Oh, All right, let's take a look heading back to last Wednesday, which was New Year's Eve. I know a lot of you guys were out there drinking the Ciroc, the Crown Royal, having a couple beers, partying it up all night long. But there was football on TV. There was a lot of money to be made. Now, Ole Miss and TCU, on paper, fantastic game. Ole Miss, for most part of the year, was hanging right around that playoff with the SEC West there, a very good team. And, hey, nobody beats the SEC West from what I heard. Well, the bowl season did tell you a little bit different there. TCU was left out. Most people think, hey, you know, TCU is really upset they got left out. Why do they even care about showing up at this bowl game? It's not even a New Year's Day game. They gave them a New Year's Eve game. Well, let me tell you something there. They routed Ole Miss 42-3. Gentlemen, it wasn't even as close as that final score dictated there. It was up and down the field. It was fast, and it was an execution, and it was done quickly. Bo Wallace didn't even show up, throwing 3-4. I think he might have had 4 interceptions in that game. I know for a fact he had 3. He throws for 109 yards on the game. They rushed the ball, their top leading rusher, 26 yards on the ground. They didn't even show up. It was 42-3, and the best part about this game is TCU had these bums down, Hugh Freeze and the boys, 42-0 late in the game, and you know Ole Miss, what do? Kick a field goal to avoid the shutout. That's how bad this football game was. It could have ended up being 62-0 in that. TCU took their foot off the gas pedal. Jerome Boykin, fantastic 3-touchdown passes. They ran the ball well. Their defense was on point. When it was all said and done, TCU had 423 yards of offense. Ole Miss, that powerhouse from the SEC West, 129 offensive yards. That's ridiculous. TCU blew the doors off Ole Miss in a very light spread. I believe it closed at -3, so you got extreme value in that one. The next game of the day was a very, very good one. It was Boise State and Arizona. Boise State jumped out to a very, very early lead in that one, held on all the way through, but didn't even play to win, as we always hate as sports bettors when we do have the favorite. You take your foot on the gas, and they almost got beat. Arizona had the ball inside the 10-yard line, goal to go, but a big sack in that situation by the young quarterback Solomon turned the tide. Solomon ended up throwing for 335 yards, but in the end, Boise State did pull it out. That was one of our premium plays. It looked like a very, very easy winner. All of a sudden, could have turned into a quick loss because, once again, a college football team, and you even see it in college basketball, take your foot off the gas. The other team can jump right through that back door. But Boise State pulled out a 38-30 win in the Fiesta. A little bit later on that night, one of the games I actually lost. And yes, hey, this is what we're here for. We admit losses. You can't win 100% of the time. But if you looked at this game on paper, Georgia Tech versus Mississippi State, the mighty, mighty, once again, SEC West bit the bullet in this one, 49-34. They couldn't stop this team. Now, on paper, if you look at it, you say an SEC West team, dominant defense, dominant recruits, dominant players, more physically imposing. You have damn near a month to get ready for that triple option of Georgia Tech. I know Georgia Tech's a good football team. Florida State beat them in the ACC title game and sure to sow that blueprint saying, hey, if you have the athletes to run with this team, you can shut them down. Well, Dan Mullen and the boys, I mean, I don't know what they were practicing because they couldn't stop anything. If you looked at the game at the end and you said Dak Prescott threw for 453 yards and 3 touchdowns, you'd say, my God, Mississippi blew the doors off that game. Wrong. They couldn't stop Georgia Tech to save their life. They gave up 577 yards to a primarily running team. In SEC defense, let's say that again, 577 yards they gave up in that one. That is astounding. 35 minutes of clock possession for Georgia Tech, but don't even let that fool you. They couldn't stop them. Mississippi State had a couple late plays there. Prescott threw a Hail Mary at the half to try to pad some of those numbers. That game wasn't even that close. Every time you turned around, Georgia Tech was running up and down the field. A very easy winner in the Orange Bowl. Congratulations to Georgia Tech, an 11-win season out of the ACC with a primarily rushing attack. That's pretty impressive. Moving over to Thursday, which was January 1st, New Year's Day, very, very good football games and very entertaining ones. The first one started with Wisconsin over Auburn. Another, hey, let's say it again, an SEC West power goes down 34-31. Melvin Gordon, 34 carries, 251 yards, and 3 touchdowns. No bigger touchdown than a 4th-and-1 from about midfield. He juked 3 people out of the jock strap, stiff-armed the guy right in the end zone. That kid is going to be a sensational professional. I know it's devalued in the NFL, the running back position, but the kid's going to be a playmaker. There's no question about it. Nick Marsh, one of the boys from Auburn, he went 15 of 22 for 217 yards and two scores. Artis Payne had a very good game on the ground for Auburn, 26 carries, 126 yards. This was a limping in Wisconsin team that just got rocked by Ohio State, but they did come to play in this game, and obviously even without their head coach. Gus Malzahn and the boys from Auburn took a defeat 34-31. They just need to find a defense, and they'll be fine. I mean, they're going to put up points, no question about it, but another one of those games. They actually went to overtime but couldn't prevail. But the SEC West, remember that one in the back of your head, that big powerhouse division, they got it shoveled all weekend long. Michigan State, one of the most entertaining games of the day in the Cotton Bowl Classic, 42-41 winner. That game was 41-21 heading into the fourth quarter there. They turned up the gas. The key play is with a late field goal in the game that was going to salt it away, ended up being a blocked field goal return the other way. Six plays later, Michigan State is in the end zone. Baylor did get the ball back a little bit later, and with only about maybe 20, 25 seconds, a couple sacks. But that game was in the books once Connor Cook threw that pass. Petty had 550 yards in the air and three touchdowns. They didn't even really bother running the ball. Shaq Linwood only ended up with 26 yards in that one. But Langford on offense for Michigan State carried the bell, 27 carries, 162 yards, and three scores. Connor Cook threw for 314. Never thought I would say that. He's been decent all year. Didn't play well at all that entire game, but really turned on the afterburners in that late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and it does take some moxie to lead your team down the field. I know they blocked the kick and gave them a short field, but you still got to end up punching that in a big-time game to end up closing the winner. So that was a nice comeback winner. We finally got one on New Year's Day, which was fantastic, but hey, better late than never. Another game, one of my favorite teams all year long has been the Minnesota Gophers. Jerry Kilwin's a fantastic program up there for you. A little bit of background on him. He comes from NIU, which, again, one of my favorite MAC teams, but I just like the hard-nosed football, the priority on the running game. They have a couple really good players. One of the plays of the year in bowl games was Max Williams, 98 yards and one touchdown at tight end, but jumped a guy at about the 10, caught a pass, if you set it up there, maybe about a 40-yard run, then he jumped a guy at about the 10-yard line, pounded it into the end zone. Fantastic play, but Missouri's too tough. That was an SEC East team with a 33-17 winner there. Matty Mauch didn't do much, 97 yards passing. They still end up winning the game by over two touchdowns, so sometimes those numbers can be a little deceiving. And then getting into the big boys there, the first one was the Rose Bowl, and we say it again, you see me on Twitter say it all the time, there is no better big game environment than playing in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl. The game was a little bit disappointing in the second half of the game, really got away from Florida State, as there was a lot of turnovers there. I think they had five turnovers, five total fumbles, and that game really slipped away. But Oregon was definitely the better team in that situation. 26 of 36 was Marcus Mariota, 338 and two scores. Tyner at running back led the team, 13 carries, 124 yards and two scores. Carrington at wideout had 165 yards and two scores. They put up 59 points on Florida State. Now, Florida State, are they as good as they were last year? No, they're not. But they were undefeated coming in, and they were getting a lot of points, almost double digits at game time. I believe it closed some around that 7.5 to 8 range, but it did open up at around 10. It's hard to stop that Oregon offense. I mean, you can have as good a pass rush as you want, but when it all comes down to it there, the tough part is how are you going to get your wind? How are you going to make your substitutions? Those big boys down the trenches, 280, 290, 300 pounds, they don't want to run like it's a track meet all game long. They're used to pushing hard for 5 to 7 seconds, sitting back for 45 seconds, and doing it again. When you're running play after play after play, I believe they said Oregon was running plays every 17 seconds, you got to sub, and you're just not going to be as effective. You can't rush the passer. You can't rush the passer. You can't chase down the running back. You can't pursue the ball when it's 10 yards downfield. You almost have to conserve your energy. Next thing you know, Oregon's up at the line. You don't know your defensive calls. You're all out of sorts. And that's how you get 59 hung right on you. We're going to go over that game, as I said. It's going to take place Monday night. But 59-20 was definitely an eye-raiser. One of the funnier points of the weekend was after Urban Meyer's Ohio State Buckeyes beat Alabama. they told him that Oregon won by 40 points, and he was like, you know what, I got to get up and get out of here. I got a lot of film work to do, because that's something you don't see every day. The number one team hasn't lost in damn near 30 games getting dropped by 40, but 639 yards of offense by Oregon's going to do that to you. Five total turnovers for Florida State didn't help. That was a game at the half, folks. I mean, if you watch the Rose Bowl, like most of us did, Jameis Winston on that one touchdown run that ended up getting called back on fourth down by about a fraction of an inch, that was a big game changer. But Dalvin Cook was such a supreme athlete all year long for the Seminoles there, but he is a freshman, and that was really key. He had two major, major fumbles, which changed that game. Because if you remember, starting off the second half, Florida State got the football, drove it right down the field with ease, but Dalvin Cook dropped the ball at about the 30-yard line. Oregon turned that into a touchdown, and it was a boat race after that. Jameis Winston with one of those Vine videos of the year where he seemed to be getting sacked by Manti Te'o's girlfriend because nobody was there. Ball flipped backwards. That one got raced into the house, and, you know, the boat race was on, but that's what happens. Nightcap, that one didn't let anybody down. Alabama and Ohio State, one of our premium plays was on Ohio State. We grabbed that line early at plus 10. We paid a little bit of money for it, getting it at minus 120. Now, at game time, taking Ohio State, didn't have a good feeling in that one. And it certainly didn't play out that way early either. It was 21-6 Alabama midway through that first half, and that was going to really spell doom from what it looked like, even getting to 10 points, because you have a third-string quarterback in Cardale Jones, defense that's not as good as Alabama's, and Alabama had, you know, extra time to get ready for this football game. You know, 3-4 weeks, you give Nick Saban that much time, he could pretty much dial in his defense against what you're trying to do on offense, and especially with an unproven third-string quarterback. Now, Cardale Jones did lead a fantastic game against Wisconsin, but he didn't know how he was going to hold up in the SEC. Hey, that SEC West power, right? Well, Ohio State really played well in that second half, got a big pick six for a turnover. Cardale Jones played very well, ended up throwing for 243 yards and a touchdown, but Ezekiel Elliott was the player of the game, 230 yards and two touchdowns on the ground against an Alabama defense? Woof. Boy, I'll tell you, the one thing is Oregon is a little bit more improved on defense than they have been in years past. But if you're going to dominate in the trenches, Alabama in that way, I mean, that's just tremendous. Blake Sims had a pedestrian game, 237 to two touchdowns. That I said he made one of the bigger errors. And I thought they didn't get the ball to Henry enough at running back. He had 13 carries for 95 yards. And certainly, I mean, sometimes Amari Cooper had 9 catches. He should have had 18 catches in that game, because when that offense was going stagnant, you had to find the big boy and see what he was going to do with the football. Even if you had to run screen passes, I thought Lane Kiffin might have had his worst game of the season calling plays for the Tide in that situation. But that's how it all played out there for us. We're going to catch a quick break. We're going to come back right on the other side in just a few moments. We're going to go over that NCAA football championship game and go over a quick NFL update there for you. Stay tuned, folks. All right, let's get right to it. Oregon versus Ohio State, that's going to take place on Monday night. The key ingredients that you're going to want to look at, rushing and passing yards. 11th and 18th overall are the Oregon Ducks. Second in the nation at scoring, putting up almost 47 points a game. After the Arizona loss, which they were very banged up, dropped a home game, which is rare, 31-24, they rolled the rest of the way, moving up from 7 total wins there, getting to 12-1 before playing Florida State and going to 13-1. This is going to be a game of attrition. What I mean by that is, can that Ohio State front four led by Joey Bosa get their breath, delay the game? You might even see one of those things that you can watch in the NFL. A lot of NFL teams go down when they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles just so they can get that delay of game, get their defensive calls right, make a substitution, and be able to catch their breath. Ohio State, a little bit of a surprise being in this game. Second game of the season on September 6th. They got beat by 2 touchdowns by a terrible Virginia Tech team at home. After that, they sort of pressed the gas a little bit. Got lucky at Penn State, had a double overtime game, which, you know, had a controversial call in there, which would end up giving them a loss. But, you know, having said and done there, they pounded Wisconsin and beat Alabama. They are really deserving to be in this game. If you look at it right now, the betting public opened up Sharp bettors look like they're hitting Ohio State, and rightfully so, if you just beat an Alabama team on a neutral field in a dome, which the title game is going to be in Dallas on a neutral field. I can't blame you in that respect. But if that game is under 7 points and maybe closes somewhere around 6.5 to 7, I'm leaning Oregon. You don't know Oregon until you play Oregon. You might look at them and say, hey, you know, Ohio State beat Alabama. They're physically imposing. When you're running plays every 17 seconds with the Heisman Trophy winner, you just can't rush the passer and get to them. They're spreading you out. And you still, again, a third-string quarterback there. How is he going to back it up with the last 2 weeks that he's played sensational? I lean Oregon in this football game, and I think Oregon's going to end up taking it there. Let's take a quick look with the last few minutes of the show on the National Football League. Again, this is my favorite weekend of the year. The big boys are coming out to play. Also, in just a moment, I'm going to give you a nice, easy premium play win that we can all bank with on Sunday. Let's go over some information on Sunday, see what's what here for us. The first game of the day on Saturday is the Ravens and the Patriots. Key ingredients here, what do you want to look at? Home and away. The Ravens are 4-4 home and away, on the road at this point, 50-50. You know, give or take. They played some really good football games on the road and really bad ones if you take a look at Houston, who beat them up pretty recently on the road. The Patriots are flat out unbeatable at home. I know it says 7-1, but that last game versus Buffalo, they sat their entire starting team for that second half and took the loss. So, in effect, they were 7-0 this year and handily putting teams away. Joe Flacco's been fantastic, though, in his last five playoff games, that Super Bowl run, and, of course, in this past game that they just picked up the W on the road against the Steelers, their main rival. But Tom Brady's Tom Brady. They had a couple weeks off to relax and get ready. Edelman had a full 3 weeks off. Gronkowski was able to get healthy in the past couple weeks as well. So I'm looking at this game on the outside. If you can get it under 7, I see the Patriots as the play. I know a lot of people like the Ravens. It's the playoffs, take the points. But I don't see the Ravens winning this game, so it's hard to actually take the point to say I hope they play it close. So in that one, we're definitely leaning towards the Patriots there. Game number 2, which is a night game, always going to be a fun one. Seahawks pound people at home. Only team they lost to this year was the Dallas Cowboys. And that was under different circumstances there. They're a much, much healthier and much different team. They're barely even giving up a touchdown a game, home or on the road at this point. They're going to be rested and ready. Unger's back under center there. So that team is completely ready to go. Panthers on the road, 3-4-1, but you're never going to go into an environment tougher than playing the Seahawks. The way I look at this game going, if the Seahawks can take an early lead by 7, maybe 10 points, Cam Newton's going to be Cam Newton. He's going to turtle into a shell, and that crowd and that defense is going to eat them alive. It's an 11-point game, and I know the Panthers have come on lately. They played really well, but this team is just playing on another level, being the Seattle Seahawks there. Look for that game to end up somewhere around that 24-10 range. It'll be near that number, but I think that Seattle will have that game secured where you're not really going to have to sweat it out too much because that defense is going to take care of it. Before we get to the game I'm about to give you, let's skip ahead to Sunday night with the Colts and the Broncos. That game is going to be a good one. The Broncos, once again, say it if we haven't said it before, 8-0 at home this year. It's hard to bet against somebody who hasn't lost at home. The mile-high difference, you have a dome team going outdoors. It's going to be cold, somewhere around 20 degrees on game day. Now, the wind's not going to be that bad, so that's going to really help Peyton Manning in this instance. They had a couple weeks to get healthy. Look for Thomas to come back at tight end. He might not be 100%, but he's going to be much, much better than he has been over the past few weeks. C.J. Anderson is going to control the ground game in this one, so definitely take a look at that game. We're going to lean towards the Broncos. We had the Colts last week. It's time to flip that game over, and you're going to want to be on the Broncos. Hey, the line's sitting at 7. If you can buy it down to 6.5, I think that's fantastic, and I think you're going to get a lot of value out of the Broncos. Now, game of the day is going to be on Sunday, Cowboys-Packers. We're going to take the Packers as our premium play and long shot winner at -3.5, -120 for the first half. The reason why we're only going in the first half is Aaron Rodgers' calf. You know he's going to get some medication. You know he's going to be ready to go. He might put some wear and tear on that in the first half, but I'm not going to risk it on a full game bet because he can get hurt at any time. I think he's going to make it through the first half. They're at least going to cover the 3. Look for them to be up at least 7 points by the half. I think the Packers win this game. I know it's not the sharp way to go, and Aaron Rodgers is banged up, but I think he has enough adrenaline and enough energy to get through that first half and cover that 3 for you. So let's put that money in our pocket to start the new year. We were 2-0 last week. Let's move ahead and make it 3-0 on the postseason. And time is running out quickly on the show tonight. Just want to say thanks once again for listening in. Quick college basketball, South Alabama -2.5 tonight. Arkansas State -2.5. Jump on those Packers first half, -3 in the NFL. And we'll catch you later. Really nice talking to you guys tonight. See you folks on the right side.